need your help a little bit tonight. I believe we're going to take some prayer requests tonight, and we do have one in particular, Brother Yates. I saw that on Facebook. What is it, James Yates? Brother James Yates. He's in surgery right now. Is that right? Okay. Awesome. That's good news, Sister Christy. Okay. Let's pray for Lisa tonight, Sister Graham. Okay. Sister Kel. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Sister Nancy? Okay, definitely. Okay. Remember that? Need anybody else over here? Sister Rachel? Okay. Remember that. Faith got strep. I just found out today she has strep throat. So that's a lot of stuff going around right now in the schools, Brother Wallace. Okay. Remember these needs. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we could bring any need before you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, you know the need before we even brought it to you, Lord, but you said to cast it before you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray, Lord, for Brother Yates tonight, Lord, for a quick recovery, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the things that went well, Lord, and the surgery there tonight, today, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray for the family for strength, Lord, in Jesus' name, to be with them, Lord. It's a time where they are, there's a time of recovery in that family, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, for every need that is brought before you tonight, Lord, you know what it is, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray that every heart and mind will be sensitive, Lord. I pray, Lord, that our hearts and minds be open to you, Lord, to where you can speak to us tonight, Lord, and we receive and respond to what you have for us in this place, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let's give God a hand clap of praise. You can be seated at this time. I'm going to have I'll call it a talk tonight. I'm not really going to preach. I don't know if I would call it a teaching, but just to talk about something that, do you ever have a word that kind of sticks in your mind and it doesn't go anywhere? Maybe it's a particular verse in Scripture and it just stays with you. Or is there a certain word in that verse that sticks in your mind, and it just, it's there, and you just kind of are stuck and fixed on it? Well, this, you'll know what it is when I start reading these scriptures. I'm going to read three particular scriptures, and they all have the same thing in common, and it's in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they left their nets and followed him." In Matthew 9:9, it says, "And as Jesus passed forth hence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." In Luke 5:27-28, it says, "And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him." Those are the words that when I start going through the Gospels, follow me. It was two words, and they were very powerful words. They were so powerful that when Jesus spoke them, they dropped everything they did. They abandoned their lifestyle. They abandoned their occupation. They abandoned they left their family. They left what was given to them, was passed down to them. Levi, Matthew, there was money, I'm sure, at the table. They were at the receipt of custom. I'm sure there was money at the table. And I don't know what was going through the person's mind who was paying tax at that time. But when he walked away, was that my opportunity to take that money back? This is just one of the thoughts that go through my head. I don't know if you kind of play things out in your mind or kind of picture where people are at that time or put yourself in that place. So that's what I was thinking, you know. And then you got Simon Peter and you got Andrew, and they are out there fishing, and they're working on their nets, and all of a sudden Jesus says, "Follow me." You know, this isn't just my occupation, but it was my Father's occupation, I don't get a paycheck. They weren't worried about their paycheck. They weren't worried about Friday. They weren't worried about the direct deposit on the 15th and on the 1st. It was just one of those things. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I'm just going to do what he says." And that's just one of those things that resonates in my mind. Follow me. Those two words, they're just stuck. Follow me. Follow me. I want to train you, and I want to show you some things. Follow me, and I will ask me how to pray, and I will tell you, and I will lead by example and show you how to pray. Follow me, and you will ask, when will all this happen? What will the sign, the signal of your return and the end of the world? And I will tell you. Follow me, and I will show you when I see the crowd, how I'm moved with compassion. Follow me, and give me what little you have, and I'll bless it and break it. And then I'll multiply, and you'll walk away with full baskets. I got thinking about this breaking. He goes, "I will bless it, and then I will break it." The Lord, have you ever heard this? Lord bless you, or you walk out and said, "Lord, the Lord's blessing is upon you." And then a little bit later on during the week, you feel broken. It's just like that bread. The Lord, he blesses you before you feel the brokenness at times. And he wants to multiply you. He wants to touch what you have in your life. He wants to touch what little you have, and he wants to make more of it. And that's, I got thinking about the fruit. When he wants to prune the tree, he wants to make you more fruitful. But it's painful when he starts to slice in that saw and starts to cut that branch out, or he starts to whittle through some things. And it's painful, as we've seen when we see in our church body, when we see, "Lord, you're pruning this, you're pruning us, but you're transplanting people too, and there's people that haven't been here before that you're bringing back, and you're doing this work, and it's painful at times, but Lord, we want his touch in our life, but it isn't always easy at times." Follow me, Peter, James, and John, and I'll bring you up into a high mountain apart. It'll be transformed. I'll be transfigured before you, and you will see Elias and Moses talking with me. But be obedient, Peter, James, and John. Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. There are 12 of you on the boat, but Peter, come down out of that boat. God will call you out, and he will call you to lonely places at a time. You'll be with a group of people. And even though you may be in a small group of people, God will still single you out, even though you're in a smaller group. But God wants to do something miraculous in your life. He wants you to follow him. There's a cost of following Jesus. In Matthew 8:18 through 22, it says, "When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. Then one of the teachers of religious law said to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' But Jesus replied, 'Foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head.' Another of his disciples said, 'Lord, first let me return home and bury my father.' But Jesus told him, 'Follow me now. Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead.'" Follow me away from the crowds. Follow me away from your places of comfort. Follow me away from your routines. Follow me away from your family, even at times when you want to be with them. Follow me right now. You may ask yourself tonight, God, what are you asking me to do that you're asking nobody else to do? This conversation came up on a mission trip one time when I went to South America. It was about 6-7 years ago now, and his name is Brian Payne. And this happened to him more than once. And he was he told me, there was 12 of us. We never met each other before. There was six of them that came from Beaumont, Texas, and some that were from Fort Lauderdale, and one guy came from California, and we all got together for the very first time, and we were explaining some things about how when God would prompt us to do something, he probably wouldn't ask anybody else to do, but he would ask you to do it. And he said, I was walking through the mall one time, and this happened to me more than once, and God prompted me. As I walked past this person, I can't remember if you told me if the person was in a wheelchair or had crutches, just to stop and pray for that person and lay my hand upon him. And he said, I wasn't ready for that. I was kind of in shopping mode. I was kind of wanting to be with my family. But the Lord pricked me, and I hesitated, he said, and I didn't do it. And after I walked away, I got past that person and past that window of opportunity and past that moment to do what God asked me to do that I knew he wanted me to do, and he didn't ask the person I was with or anybody else. And he goes, I had sorrow, I had regret, I had grief because I knew I should have done it. I wish I would have done it. If I had to do it over again, I could take that back and I would do it because I felt God prompted me to do something. I remember it was after church on a Sunday morning, and I was driving to Aldi's, and I was coming back, and I remember this couple. They were alongside the road, and I remember the look on this woman's face. I'll never forget. She was so angry that her husband ran out of gas alongside the road. It was over by the old Second Bank there, and she was mad at him. But when I pulled up, it got quiet. How the argument stopped, but I felt led to pull up there and asked them if they need any help, and I didn't know what the situation was with the car. We're just out of gas. He goes, I got no money. I said, can you start the car? Can you get it over to the gas station? I'm like, okay. He started it up. I think he ran out of gas. Why would you just stop there alongside the road? But I don't know how he was able to start that thing back up and get it over to the gas station, put gas in it, but he did. And I felt led, you know what? He wanted my address. He wanted my phone number, some information. I said, you know what, God, you're kind of ordering my steps right now. I don't want nothing to do with any kind of return. And I felt prompted to make sure that they got gas to go on their way, but also to go walk over while he's pumping gas in the car. And the hurt, the silent hurt, the kind of anger that some women have, you know. You know you have. It's quiet, but, you know, you walk in a room, you can hear a pin. I just walked into something. They're really mad. I could feel it. They don't even have to say a word. They could speak without saying a word. So I walked over there. She didn't look at me right away. And I just felt prompted to say, it's going to get better. I left there, and I just started weeping into my car. I said, God, you put me in that place at that time to help somebody. Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. He just wants us to follow him. Where are we going today? Where did we go today that he led us to go to be in contact with? To that person, to that place. Was it an accident? I remember one time, and I shared this testimony years ago, I stopped by a motorcycle accident outside of Hinckley coming into Sandwich, and it was indescribable, the presence of God that I felt, and what I saw, this man and this woman in pain, and we're there way before any paramedic showed up, way before the police showed up. And I got thinking, Lord, your presence is strong here. I could feel the angels. I could feel, there's just an angelic presence right here, you know. But what hesitated me to want to kneel down and pray with that person right then? Was I worried about what that person thought? So that was followed with regret. It was in the back of my mind. You may never have a chance to redo the particular moment, but God will give you opportunities again. And we need to think about those opportunities and be sensitive to those little openings, those little doors when God opens a chance for him to use us, for a chance for he's using us in his stead. to minister to somebody. It was not too long after that that Sister Christy and I and Brother Al and a few other people went to family camp. And we were coming home on a Friday night. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And there was a chance to do something that I wish I would have done the last time I was at an accident. We came up there. From a distance, I saw some people pulling some material off the road. We got up a little closer. And we were there 15 minutes before anybody showed up, before a paramedic showed up, before the police showed up. And I saw the man. There was an accident where a motorcycle hit a car head-on. And they left the campground. And I saw the man that was on a motorcycle. He was about 12 feet away from, I don't know if it was his girlfriend or if it was his wife. I saw this lady that she had some pressure on the side of her head. She was fully conscious. I saw her hand in a position that you shouldn't have it in. And I saw her leg and her foot in a way that there had to be multiple broken bones in her leg. But God made another window of opportunity. Did not hesitate. I went over there and I grabbed her hand. I just started praying with her. I did not care what nobody thought. She asked the people around her, she goes, am I going to die? I don't know, but I'm not going to waste this opportunity because God put me in that path. And he says, I chose you to intercede and pray for that person. I was praying in the spirit at 1 o'clock in the morning on people that were recovering from an alcoholic binge, but I did not care. I didn't know if I'd ever see them again. And I know that I've never seen them again, but it was just that particular moment. Like Philip was in that particular moment at that particular time that God chose him to be in. Follow me, and I will show you things. Follow me, and you will do things for me. God will put you in certain places with people, and it will teach you and test you at times. In 2 Timothy 2:24 says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, and be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. Do you have anybody at work who has ever tested you to the limit where you felt like, Lord, I almost wish that verse was not in the Bible, because I have been tested to the limit with this particular person. I'm either going to tell this person off, or I'm going to grab my stuff and leave here. I don't know if you've ever been to that breaking point. You have no idea where you're at right now with me. But it's a test of our patience. It's our test of our patience with somebody that doesn't know the hope that we have. That doesn't mean that we're human beings and we get tested. And we want to... If you knew what I was thinking right now... It's amazing that as soon as you endure that moment, the peace that comes right after that. It's incredible. I can't describe it. But I believe it's God just teaching us, just testing us. I want to ask you, is there anybody that has had opportunities where you allow God to use you and you know that he put you in a particular place at a certain time, or have you known that you were in a particular place where you missed that opportunity? This could be a teachable moment for all of us. If anybody has a testimony where they'd be willing to kind of share at that moment in their life where I messed up, I wish I could have done that over again. Or, you know what, I remember how God used me in this particular area, and it was no mistake. Does anybody have anything like that they want to share? Sister Christy. else. Awesome. I believe we can all kind of look back now and see places and times where that was no accident, where I was in that particular place at that particular time. You know, and they're all teachable moments. We all have teachable moments, and we all learn from that. And just, Lord, help me to be sensitive when at an opportunity or a similar situation like that does come back by. Lord, I pray, Lord, that I would respond the way you would want me to respond. Because these windows and doors are only open for so long, and then they pass. Does anybody else have anything? Okay. God uses us in all different areas in his body and his church, one to teach, one to greet, one to usher, or one to lead worship. Maybe he shows one of us a void that needs to be filled, that you see an area in the church that nobody else sees. Maybe you see something that needs to be fixed that nobody else sees. Maybe you need something that needs to be replaced that nobody else sees. Maybe you see something that needs to be updated that nobody else sees. Maybe you're in a service on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning, and God may call you to be an intercessor during that service. There's some warfare going on. Somebody's dealing with something. It's a life-altering moment for them. You don't know if this is going to be the last time that they're going to walk through these doors. You may call one person to go pray with that person, one person to speak into that person's ear, one person to go over there and pray and intercede for what's taking place in the unseen world. There's consequences for not being obedient also. And we got to be careful not to ignore the warning signs. And an example of this is there were two electrical engineers in the control room that night. And the best thing that could be said was for that they were doing is they were playing around with the machine. They were performing what the Soviets later described as an unauthorized experiment. They were trying to see how long the turbine would freewheel when they took the power off of it. Taking the power off of that kind of nuclear reactor is difficult, a dangerous thing, because these reactors are very unstable in their low ranges. In order to get the reactor down to that kind of power, they could perform tests where they were, the kind of tests that they were interested in performing, they had to override six manually separate computer-driven alarm systems. One by one, the computers would come up and say, stop, dangerous, go no further. And one by one, rather than shutting off the experiment, they shut off the alarms and kept going. As a result, the nuclear fallout was recorded all around the world, from the largest industrial accident ever to occur in the world. There's warning signs God gives us. Those are warning signs not to be ignored, not to grab a piece of duct tape and put over. We got the engine light on our vehicles, and a lot of us have them. When you get over 100,000 miles on a vehicle, the engine light's usually always on. But when you see a red light, maybe I should go to the mechanic and see if maybe there's something more wrong. It's not an idiot light, because I don't want to be an idiot and be stranded alongside the road without getting it checked out. Follow me, and I will lead by example. He told him, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me. He went on a little further down and bowed his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup of suffering be taken from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. In Philippians 2:7-8 says, but made himself of no reputation and took up a form of a servant, and it was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. One thing I enjoyed about working in a company that I started 20 years ago was 1997. The second generation has taken over the company, but the first generation of the Birch Brothers, the drywall company that I do work for, one thing that was always said when they sent you out to go to a job, and some of these jobs were like, how are we going to get that done? And some of the guys that were here before me would say, that guy, your boss, will never ask you to do something that he hasn't already done. And when God asks us to do something, when he says, follow me, or when he asks us to do something or puts us in a situation to go in his stead, he will never ask us to do anything he hasn't already done. I'm so thankful for that. An angel of the Lord told Philip to go down to the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. There was a eunuch heading to Jerusalem to worship. I just love this story of Philip. And he was reading out of the book of Isaiah. And the Holy Ghost said, go over to walk beside the carriage. He hears the man reading and strikes up a conversation with a man in the carriage. And he says to the man in the carriage, what are you reading? So God tells him to go take a walk, go on this dusty road between Jerusalem and Gaza. And while you're being obedient, you're going to be there. There's an opportunity and there's a time and a place that I'm going to put you in. To where there's just going to be this carriage where this eunuch's going to be inside, and he's going to be reading the book of Isaiah. And this carriage must not have windows in it, and it must not be going very fast, because Philip was walking about as fast as a carriage, and he was hearing what this guy was reading out loud. So I thought that was pretty cool. Sister Christy, can you read the next few verses? Being obedient leads to opportunity. Opportunity to strike a conversation with a stranger, which led to an open door of a carriage, which led to an open door to the gospel, to an open door, to an open water hole for the eunuch to be baptized. He just was being obedient. He went exactly where the Lord told him to go and to be at that time. And that eunuch's life was eternally changed. Last thing, obedient will take you to your fulfilled promises. Joshua had instructions to take Israel across the Jordan River to possess the promised land. Joshua, be strong and of good courage, God told him. Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous. Maybe God saw butterflies in Joshua's belly at that time, because he was about to do something that this nation has not done before. The generations did not do it. They did not trust in God, but Joshua had to trust in God. He knew that being in the wilderness was a time to trust God, that the wilderness was not his destination, that this is a place that I'm not going to spend the rest of my life being, because I have a promise that is going to be fulfilled right about now. just this next corner, just as soon as the priest put their foot on that Jordan River, this thing's going to split up, and we're going to go somewhere we've never been before. We're going to go to that promised land. We're going to go to that place. Courage is the ability to do something that frightens one. Strength in the face of pain or grief. The thing that I'm facing is bigger than me, you may say, but I have a promise. I am facing a lot of pain and grief, but I have a promise. The Lord is about to fill a promise. I have the butterflies in my belly, but God has asked me to do something He's not asking anyone else to do. It's okay to come out of that boat. You may be the only one God's asking you to do something tonight. You may know exactly what it is. It's between you and God. God may be asking you to speak to that person at work. Maybe He's asking you to do something in ministry you've never done before, and He's drawing you, and you won't go away. The wilderness was not their destination. Brother Wallace, can you put up that last verse I gave you? This was a testimony in Joshua 23:14. He got the whole nation of Israel together. It says, "Behold, this is the day I'm going to the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." What an amazing testimony at the end of somebody's life. He had a testimony he could share because he faced things bigger than him. He knew that there were giants in those lands. He knew that every place that they were going to conquer, that he cannot do that without God. God wants to fulfill promises. The very thing that He asks you to do is just to have courage. He knows that you're going to be nervous. He knows that you're going to have those butterflies. But He said it 3 times in 4 verses. Have courage. Do not be afraid. Being obedient will put you in God's favor. It will give you the opportunity to let Him say to you someday, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We all stand at this time. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for pressing upon my mind, Lord, just to follow you at times. To follow you at times when I cannot see. To follow you and to be obedient to you, Lord, and not try to rationalize things or try to figure things out, Lord, but to trust you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you're coming upon this time in our life. Lord, this is that chosen generation, Lord. This is at the end, Lord, in Jesus' name, where you're going to have us to do things that nobody else has done or seen before in history, Lord, in Jesus' name, in these last days. Lord, I pray, Lord, to be sensitive and obedient to you, Lord. Be sensitive when doors open and opportunities open, that we take those opportunities, advantage of those opportunities, to go through those open doors, Lord, in Jesus' name, for your name's sake, Lord. Give you the praise and the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Can we give God a hand clap of praise? Thank you all for being here tonight. It is a little early, so I know the kiddos are downstairs. If you need to go grab them, they're going to be a little surprised to see you right now.